Well, good morning, everyone. My name is Tim Porter. I'm one of the pastors for Faith Community Church, and welcome to FCC Online. I'm so glad that you're joining us this morning. Today, we're going to be learning from Jesus about how to have calm hearts as we face an uncertain future. Now, anxiety and worry are universal human experiences, and you don't have to be a worrier or an anxious person to have experienced anxiety and worry in the midst of the last couple months, and even today as we're looking into the future. We've had plenty of things to be anxious and worried about. Now, we're all not worried about the same things, though. So these are some of the concerns that I've heard just in the last week. Will I get COVID-19? Will I have to be on a ventilator? What if someone that I love who's immunocompromised gets COVID-19? What if I'm furloughed? What if businesses don't open up fast enough for me able to get a job? Will I lose my home? Will I become homeless? What if no one recognizes some of the liberties that we've lost as citizens of the United States and no one fights to help get those liberties back for us? What if I have cancer growing in my body right now and I can't get to the doctor to have a colonoscopy that I need to know if this is going on in my body? What if? What if a vaccine is not developed fast enough? What if a vaccine is developed fast and the government forces us to take it? What if my child is set back with their education because we're doing online learning? What if we have to do more online learning in the fall? What if my campus doesn't open up? What if there is a second wave? What's that going to be like? Now, again, these are just some of the concerns that I've heard voiced and that I've had as well just in the last week. We've got plenty of things to be anxious and worried about and concerned about, and these are real, real concerns. But another what if. Stay with me, just if you can, just for a second. What if we can experience life with a calm heart? Now, some what ifs we can just brush by them without a problem. There are other what ifs that, you know, they wake us up in the middle of the night. There are other what ifs that stay with us and we become divided. We're constantly focused on the future and we can't let that anxiety go. Now, if you're new to Faith Community, we use this word discipleship or disciple often. You'll probably hear it around here. And all we mean by that is that we are learning as followers of Jesus to help one another know and follow Jesus together. And oftentimes we do that in small groups, and we do it around learning from Jesus how to live by reading the Bible together. Recently, I was in a small group discipleship gathering, and a friend of mine was talking about some of the anxiety that he experiences in life. He talked about how when he is overwhelmed in work, he can become very stressed, and in the middle of the night, he wakes up with a bit of a panic attack in the middle of the night, and he's had seasons where this anxiety has not gone away, and it just stays there with him no matter what he does. It affects how he sleeps. It affects how he eats. And in his imagination, he has this three-step process to his worst-case scenario. He describes how I go into work and I'm overwhelmed and stressed out. I'm not doing a great job, and so my manager lets me go. And then a couple weeks after that, I lose my home because I can't pay my mortgage, and then we are homeless and we're living down by the river. And that's a real imagination fear for him. And as soon as he described that, I was like, oh, you too. I can imagine my worst case scenario with technicolor detail, with high definition. Can you? That's what it's like to be in the midst of anxiety and worry. But again, just a couple more what ifs. Stay with me here just for a second. What if you and I are not made to worry? What if we are not made to be anxious? What if you and I can actually experience a calm heart as we face an uncertain future? Jesus talks this way, and I know it's hard to imagine, but Jesus says, don't be anxious about your life. And what if he means that we can actually do that? He really wants to help us not be anxious in life. He teaches this way. He says, therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. And when Jesus says, don't be anxious, he's using a term that means don't be divided. Isn't that what's going on with anxiety? We are divided. Our hearts aren't at rest because our body is present, but our mind and our imagination, our heart is in the future, trying to solve problems, potential problems that aren't ours yet, and we can't rest. We can feel the dread of the horror of our worst case scenario happening, and we are in the future trying to solve it with today's resources. These are real concerns, but they can take on a life of their own, and we become divided and anxious. Now, just so you know, my poor wife, if you talk to her, she would let you know that she's had to endure hours, days, weeks, sometimes seasons of me being an anxious, divided person where I'm present in my body and in the room, but my mind and my imagination and my fears are someplace else. What if there's a way that you and I can experience calm in the face of an uncertain future? Jesus teaches us this morning, and I'm right there with you. He teaches us how to be calm and how to trust him and worry less. See, God doesn't want us to be anxious. Now, please don't hear any shame in that. God doesn't want us to be anxious. He didn't make us to be anxious. What he wants is our best. And what Jesus is doing is he's teaching us how not to be anxious. He's teaching us that there's a better way for you and me to live. And Jesus is going to teach us to do the last thing that every worrier wants to do in the midst of worry and anxiety. He's going to teach us to trust when it's the last thing we want to do. Now, Jesus is a genius here because he's letting us know what we have come to know even more, that anxiety doesn't work. It actually isn't productive at all. Jesus says this, and which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? Now, you and I were tempted to give so much energy to anxiety and to worry, and it doesn't accomplish anything. It actually doesn't add any value to our lives, and it actually takes value from our lives, and it actually shortens our lives. We've learned from Jesus that anxiety creates high blood pressure. Anxiety creates heart disease. Anxiety creates depression. Anxiety, I don't want you to worry. But anxiety actually does damage to ourselves. A reminder, I love this reminder from Corrie Ten Boom, who lived through a Nazi death camp. She says this about worry. Worrying is carrying tomorrow's load with today's strength. Carrying 2 days at once, it's moving into tomorrow ahead of time. And then this is so helpful. So take a Snapchat, take a snap of this of your screen or write this down. Corrie Ten Boom, she just says this. She puts it out there, applying what Jesus taught. Worrying doesn't empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength. Now, anxiety is not something we just get past like we flip a switch, and I'm sorry, I know, we're getting tired of that language. Anxiety, we just don't flip a switch and stop worrying. It's actually something we progressively learn how to do as we take Jesus' words and apply them to our lives. And what Jesus is going to do in his teaching today is he's going to give us two truths and a decision to make to help us learn to have a calm heart as we face an uncertain future. So if you have your Bible open or with you, or your app on your phone, we're going to be learning from Jesus today in the Sermon on the Mount from Matthew 6, 24 through 34. And I just want to remind you of the setting here of this sermon. Jesus is on a hillside, and he's out in the open, and he's in a field. And so he's going to be pointing to things in the field to remind his first followers and to teach us about who God is and what he's like so that you and I can experience calm hearts in the midst of an uncertain future. Again, this is Matthew 6, verses 24 through 34. And Jesus is teaching us to live like him, trusting our Heavenly Father with an uncertain future. Jesus says, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Therefore," he says, "I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Oh, and which of you can, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow it's thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, oh, you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, 'Well, what shall we eat?' or 'What shall we drink?' or 'What shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after those things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow. Tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Now, as parents, my wife and I are very aware of our son's needs. We have three sons. And the moment that we found out that we were expecting a child, our whole orientation as a couple shifted and changed. Before, it was about the two of us. Now, the two of us were starting to think about how we get to and need to provide for someone that's being added to our family. Parents, do you remember the moment that it hit you that we now exist to help somebody else live? Now, you don't have to be a parent to experience that. As soon as you care for somebody and you take on some of those responsibilities for caring for them, if you're a manager and you're helping someone in your business, or if you're a daycare provider and you're helping a child in that business, you are taking on the responsibility to think about the needs of the people that you're caring for and that you love, and you act proactively to try to care for those needs. What Jesus is saying in this sermon is that you and I need to flip our understanding of God and see and experience and trust that just as we as parents look after our children, knowing what they need even before they ask, that's how God relates to you and me. Jesus says this, "Your heavenly Father knows that you need them all." Now, in the context, Jesus is teaching us about our anxiety about food and clothing, basic human needs. When we are uncertain about the future, how are we going to eat? Jesus says, your heavenly Father knows that you need them. And so Jesus is introducing us to the God who's really there and what his heart is really like for all of us. And so this is the first truth that Jesus gives us to calm our hearts. Take a picture, write it down. Your heavenly Father knows what you need. Your heavenly Father knows what you need. Now, I've seen this phrase recently on social media. Maybe you've seen it as well. Nobody cares. Work harder. Nobody cares, work harder. Now, this is supposed to be motivational, and it is. And it's supposed to be inspirational, but it always isn't motivational and inspirational. The idea is nobody cares about you, so you better work hard, and if you work hard, then you'll actually succeed in life. Don't rest on anybody else. But you need to know that that's the idea actually behind anxiety and worry. Nobody cares. You're on your own. You better figure it out. But Jesus is saying, no. It's the exact opposite. You're not alone. You're not alone. Jesus' Father, your Father, knows you. He knows your circumstances. He knows how many hairs are on your head. Some of you, that's really easy to count. But the idea is Jesus' Father, our Father in heaven, knows every detail about your life, inside and out, everything that's going on in your circumstances. He knows it all. He's personally, intimately aware with every part of your life. You are not alone. He knows what you need. He knows that you need them. All the things that you're looking into the future and seeing, I need these so that my life does not have trouble. He knows what you really need. Heart level check right now. Is that how you really look at your life and how you really look at the world? Because if not, Jesus is inviting you to look at the world in a very different way, a better way, that you are not alone. Your Father knows what you need. Now, if you didn't watch the sermon last week, Tim Prince gave a great, helpful, practical sermon about how to live our daily lives. And in the sermon, he talked about how Jesus teaches us how to pray. And there's this fascinating line where Jesus teaches us to pray. Pray this way, knowing that your Father knows what you need even before you ask. Parents, you know what this is like. Your children come to you with all kinds of requests. You already know what they need even before they ask. And you are willing to give them what they need. And Jesus is saying, if you do that, and you and I were selfish, how much more we can trust God, our Heavenly Father, to know what we need before we ask and to give us exactly what we need. Not always what we want, thank God, but always what He knows we will need. He knows what we need tomorrow. He knows what we need next year. And this is amazing. Your Heavenly Father, my Heavenly Father, is not only able to give us exactly what we need, exactly when we need it, rarely early, but never late. He's willing to give us exactly what we need. This has helped me so much in overcoming and learning to overcome anxiety and worry in my life. There's a counselor named Ed Welch, and he's written about this, and he talks about how worry and anxiety is looking into the future and considering our worst-case scenarios, and we're trying to use our present-day resources and gifts and graces from God to try to answer tomorrow's problems. And you know what? We never factor into our future, we never factor into our greatest worst case scenarios, God's grace. We look at the future without God's grace, and that creates worry and anxiety. But God is wonderfully willing and able to give us what we need. He already knows the future and what we will need, and He already knows what He will give us, and He invites us to ask Him, to trust Him and depend on Him to do that. And God is wonderfully creative with His grace. That's one of the things that's so difficult as we look in the future. God is just so wonderfully creative with His grace that He surprises us with His grace and how He's going to care for us. That's why it's difficult to imagine how good He is. There's a man named George Mueller who lived in the 19th century, 1805 to 1898, and he was a follower of Jesus, and he cared deeply about orphans, and so he started different orphanages, and one of the things that he wanted to do is he wanted to learn how to live by trust and dependence on God as he cared for others, and so he made it a regular routine to take Jesus' words and teaching about how to pray daily for daily bread, and he prayed daily for daily bread, and he experienced God's grace in miraculous, amazing ways One of my favorite stories about how God gave George Mueller and one of the orphanages grace is that one morning, George woke up and the children woke up and they were getting ready for the day and getting ready for school, and there was no food in the pantry whatsoever. No milk, no food, nothing at all. And there was no money. There was no money to be able to buy food to be able to care for the children. And George had been praying that God would definitely answer and provide for them. And so expectantly, George got together with all the children and he just simply said this. They all had their empty bowls waiting for their morning meal, their breakfast. And he said, "Dear Father, thank you for what you're going to give us today to eat. No money, no food, only bowls." And as George finished praying, he heard a knock on the door. George went to the front door of the orphanage and opened it up, and there was a baker standing there. And he goes, "I've got food for you. Last night in the middle of the night, about 2 a.m., I was awakened, and I just had this sense that you needed food. And so I got up in the middle of the night, and I made this bread for you. Do you guys need it?" George said, "Yes, we do. Thank you so much." Closed the door, and almost within a few moments after closing the door, I hear another knock on the door. Went to the door. I mean, just think about this now. Here's the milkman standing at the front door. And he says, "Yes, my cart that's carrying all the milk for me to do the deliveries, my cart broke down in front of your orphanage. This is what I need your help with. Could I unload all the gallons of milk, and can you take them for me so that I can then, the milk won't spoil, and I can fix my cart?" And George's like, "Yes, that's exactly what we'll do. Thank you so much." Now, I'm not saying God's going to do that in your life, but that's how creative God is with his grace to meet our needs. Will you trust him? Will you trust him with your uncertain future that he is creative and willing and able to help you? Now, just in my own life, I have experiences. I've been learning how to follow Jesus and overcome worry and anxiety and talk to God and let him know what my fears are and let him know what my concerns are about the future and ask him for help. God is wonderfully creative in giving me exactly what I need, exactly when I need it. And I didn't actually know what I would need, but he did. Would you trust him? Now, if you are struggling right now with anxiety and you're in a small group discipleship, one of the things I would recommend to you as a small group discipleship leader, if you're discipling somebody or as a parent and you've got a child right now who is struggling with anxiety, one of the things that you can do is that you can help them look back in life and look back and see what are the ways in which God gave us exactly what we needed, exactly when we needed it, and we didn't even know possibly that we might need it. Start keeping a journal of the ways in which God has answered your prayers and in his creativity and what it looked like. Because that starts to build your confidence that you might not know what the grace is going to look like as you go into the future and face problems into the future and troubles in the future, but this is what you can go into the future knowing. Whatever that trouble is, my Father in heaven knows exactly the grace that I need to overcome, avoid, and endure that trouble. And he's proven to me that he will give it to me. Second truth that Jesus gives us to calm our hearts. Here's the second one. Take a picture of this one or write it down. You are of great value to God. You are of great value to God. Now, I don't know about how many of you have any, do you have any bird baths or bird feeders in your yard and like that, or how many of you like to watch the birds outside or out on a walk or on a hike to watch the birds? We have a couple bird feeders and a bird bath and a tree right outside of our back windows, and we love to watch the birds. We've got a bird book and binoculars right next to the window so that we can look out and see what's going on and get the detail and all that kind of stuff, and we have right now coming back to our yard cardinals and finches and hummingbirds and bluebirds and orioles and swallows and blue jays and brown threshers and all kinds of stuff. I mean, all kinds of birds that are coming out. And we love to watch them. We love to watch them. And what's amazing is that as we start to watch the birds, not only with the feeders that we've provided, but with the bugs and the berries on our trees, God is generously, generously providing for the birds. Don't think this is just nature on its own doing its thing. Jesus wants us to see that God is providing food, abundant food, generous food for the birds. And then he says these words, "Are you not of more value than they? Are you not of more value than they?" Let that question just sink in. Do you believe that you are more valuable to God than birds are? Last week was Mother's Day, and of course, it was a strange Mother's Day to be in lockdown as we were, but my family and I, we went for a hike to Willow River, and we started at the Pink Trail on River Road, and we walked down to the falls in Willow River State Park. Some of you, many of you have walked that before, and as we were walking that trail, or as we began to walk that trail, my wife said, "Hey, let's look for four things today so that as we're walking the trail, we're looking to observe and paying attention to what's around us," and so we were looking for four-legged creatures that weren't dogs and domesticated. We were looking for birds, and then she said, "Let's look for flowers." So as we were walking on the path, we finally found some flowers on the side of the path in the grass next to where the woods are at. These small little white flowers and small little purple flowers, and we're bending over and looking at them, and my wife has great attention to detail, and she's showing us, look at how intricate and how beautiful and how delicate and how just the beauty of these small little flowers. And remember, Jesus is out in the hillside, and he's in the field, and he says, "Look at the flowers, look at the wildflowers, look at the lilies, look at how beautiful they are. Look at how God clothes them, and they're here for a day, and they're gone the next day. There are flowers that nobody in the world ever sees except for God, and look at the beauty and the ways in which he clothes them." And Jesus says, "Will he not much more clothe you? You are of great value to God. You, no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, are of great value to God. He wants to care for you." Value. What's the value? The value is what price you're willing to pay for something, right? That's the value. Now, remember this about Jesus. Jesus is not just a religious teacher who's come to teach us a little bit about what he thinks God is like. No, Jesus is the Son of God. He taught that he is God himself who's come to be with us, to take on human form, to show us what God is like. And what else does Jesus do? He doesn't just teach. The whole life of Jesus is leading up to a point in human history where he dies on a cross. Why did he die on a cross? He died on a cross because you and I, because of our sins, we deserve to die. But we're of such value to God that he wants a relationship with you and me, that he was willing to send his Son, and Jesus was willing to live a life in such a way and die a death in such a way that you and I can be restored back into relationship and learn to trust our Heavenly Father and rest in him and not run away from him. And that's the kind of price that he paid. He paid for our restoration and relationship with God with his life. That's how valuable you are to God. If he'll do that to meet our greatest need, which is for us to be restored back into relationship with him by the forgiveness of our sins, why will he not also give us everything else that we need? Let that calm your heart. Those are the two truths. Here's the decision. Trust. Our decision, Jesus says, is to trust. Notice this is what Jesus says in the midst of this teaching. He talks about how, "Oh, you of little faith. Oh, you of little faith." Worry is, and anxiety is putting our trust in ourselves and our own resources when we don't actually have all the resources we need to meet tomorrow's problems or the next day's problems. No wonder we're so anxious, because we're trying to live our lives on our own. We're trusting in ourselves. That's what anxiety does. And Jesus says, when you and I are anxious and we see tomorrow's problems coming, that what that is, it's an invitation to learn to trust our Heavenly Father to provide for us tomorrow, just as He's done it today. Because He knows what you and I need, and we are of such value to Him. Trust. Willfully making a decision, I'm not going to trust my future into my own hands. I'm going to trust my future into my Heavenly Father's hands. When we're surrounded by trouble and scary things that could come our way, Jesus says it's an invitation to learn how to grow in knowing God as our Heavenly Father. And this is a process. It doesn't happen overnight. We learn to flex trust muscles one day at a time, one bout with anxiety at a time, where we intentionally say, you will meet my needs, God. This is what I'm scared about. Will you please help me in the future, just as you've helped me today? You value me. You love me. You have taken my greatest need, and you have answered that. You will also meet my needs, everyone, in the future, and I'm learning to trust you. This is what it looks like in my own heart as I'm learning to do this. I feel the weight of anxiety and worry as some kind of horrible thing is going to happen in the future, some kind of story that I hear that could happen to me, and what am I going to do about that? And I start to envision out in the future, okay, I'm going to try to answer that problem in this way, and this way, and this way, and this way, and I start to get divided. Instead, I'm learning to do something like this. I'm learning to talk to God, my Father, about what I'm scared about. Father, I'm scared. I pray. I'm scared about this. I'm scared about this. I'm scared about this. I'm scared about this. I am scared. I'm afraid. I don't know if this trouble is going to come into my life. You know if this trouble is going to come into my life. But I'm asking you that you would please remove this trouble from my life, that I would not have to endure it. But Father, if you bring this trouble into my life, I want to trust that you will give me the grace to overcome it and to endure it. Because you've been faithful to me thus far, why would you stop now? And then after praying that, or continuing to pray that, and throughout the day continuing to pray that, I'm talking to my own heart, saying, heart, stop thinking about the future. Live right now. Live right now, knowing that God will give you the grace right now to do what you've been given to do. And He'll do the same tomorrow, whatever that is. And I learned to refuse to think about tomorrow and the trouble that could come, and to trust Him with my life. This Tuesday, we're going to have a faith and life conversation. Pat Stream, our pastor for counseling, is going to be hosting a Zoom meeting from 7 to 8 on this Tuesday. There's going to be links for you in the comment sections below. If you'd like to dive a little bit deeper and learn a little bit more from Jesus and the Bible about how to have a calm heart in the midst of uncertain future, or facing an uncertain future, would you please click on that and register for that? We'd love to help you do that. It'll be a time of hope and instruction and praying for one another and learning how to do that. I hope that this has been helpful for you and that you will be learning right now how to trust your Heavenly Father, because He knows what you need. You are more valuable to Him than anything else. And He is willing and able to provide for you no matter what it is in your future. Let's trust Him together. Let me pray for us before we sing out together. Father, thank you for your mercy and your kindness and your goodness. Thank you that you love us. Thank you that you care for us. Thank you that you know how to provide for us and you are willing to do that. Help us to make the decision to trust you daily, moment by moment, that we're going to trust you more than we're going to trust our own ways and our own strength and our own power. And we're going to watch you provide for us and build our trust muscles as we see your faithfulness. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.